today from Chuck Swindoll.
When you keep discovering, you don't dread what tomorrow brings. You anticipate what God's going to do through you tomorrow. And you live it on the theme of discovering that. That's Caleb. That's his ticket to adventure.
When our hair turns gray and our bones get brittle, sometimes it's tempting to dismiss our value. We mistakenly assume that meaning and purpose is the exclusive right of the young. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that God doesn't view age that way. Chuck is teaching from the book of Joshua in his brand new series called Moving Ahead Together with a Winning Mindset. In this portion of our study, another man of faith takes center stage. His name was Caleb. Chuck titled today's message, Age, Your Ticket to Adventure.
Our God is in the heavens. He does what he pleases. He chooses to take some from us early in life, and others he allows to live a long life. He knows not only the day of our conception, also has planned the day of our death. Dawson Trotman was the founder of the Navigators, and full of life and vigor and energy. He was at Scroon Lake with other conferees having a wonderful time. He was on a ski boat out on the lake, and the night before he had had a conversation with Lila, his wife, and he had said to Lila, "You know, I have this strong sense that the Lord is going to take me from this earth." And she said, "Doss, what are you talking about? As young as you are," he said, "No, I really mean that. So here's the way I want you to organize the Navigators when I'm gone." He pulled out a tablet and organized it, put it down in outline form. "And this man is to serve in this position, this one here. This one is to take my place," and lined it all up. And the next day, Dawson drowned in Scroon Lake. While rescuing two ladies who had been thrown out of the speedboat, he was an excellent swimmer, but the Lord took him. When the boat got back to shore after searching for over an hour, Lila was on the shoreline walking, knew nothing of what had happened on the water, and one of the young men from the boat ran down the beach and said, "Lila, Lila, Dawson's gone. He's gone." She looked at him and said, "Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he's pleased." What a wonderful attitude to have. As I said, he takes some young, and some of them live long lives, like Caleb, one of my favorite characters, set forth in Joshua 14. If you've not looked lately, his bio is in verses 6 through 14. Open your Bible to that wonderful, brief but enriching story of a man who drained life of all its adventure, earlier and later, no matter what. I want to read for you these verses from the New Living Translation. Follow along, please. Joshua 14, verse 6. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old and The Lord had sent me from there to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave him an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever. Because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You'll remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Joshua with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now let's resume the message that Chuck titled, Age, Your Ticket to Adventure.
How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? I think it was Satchel Paige who gave us that question. So many people could never guess how old Satchel was. It was a great answer when asked that. It's a question that needs to be answered, so take it personally. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? When I asked that question in the first morning service today, one older lady said, 27. I love that answer. It's amazing, isn't it? How we think about life. And so many people live in the dread of getting old, as if it is a prison sentence, and they're in a cell of, dreadful consequences. Here they are, eking out their last year. No, doesn't have to be. Lucy in the little Peanuts cartoon of years ago is leaning with one elbow on Schroeder's piano. He's at the keyboard. And she says to him, I dread getting old. Will you love me when I'm old and crabby? And Schroeder responds, You don't have to be crabby. She said, but it's so hard to change. He said, well, you could be nice in the morning and crabby through the afternoon. She said, but I'd still be old all day. You feel like that? Don't answer out loud. You know, I've known athletes who get to about age 40, 45, and they've lived through many a season in the game of football, for example, and then their bodies show the marks of it, and they feel those injuries And you ask them how old they are, and some of them would say, actually, I feel like I'm 70. Can hardly take a flight of stairs. Both knees have braces, and my ankles hurt, and my back hurts. What's interesting is there are also people who are in their 70s, even 80s, and they're still climbing, they're still hiking, they're still exercising, they're still cognitively alert and engaged in life. And you ask them, and they don't hesitate. In fact, I don't think some of them even think about how old they are, but they will say quickly, I feel like I'm still in my 30s, maybe 40s. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? You know, Caleb at age 85 would have answered that question, I feel like I'm 40. I'm just as strong now and able to take on the giants as I was back then when I came back with that report along with Joshua and my other fellow spies talked the people out of it and filled them with fear. I had no fear. You know, it's worthwhile on occasion to develop a credo about life. I encourage you to do that. In your own words, based on perhaps a verse of scripture, find a statement, create a statement that represents how you live your life and why. Mine is based on Psalm 90, verse 12. I love Psalm 90, first of all, because it's one of the rare psalms written by Moses. David wrote many of them, most of them. Asaph wrote a number of psalms. Other people, Solomon even wrote some psalms, but Moses wrote a couple. This is one of them, and he ought to know something about aging, huh? Moses. You realize not until he was 80 did he stand before the burning bush. His life hadn't amounted to a whole lot until then. And then the Lord said, okay, now I have this plan for you. You're going to lead the Exodus. His first response was, me? I can't even talk in public. And the Lord said, yeah, you're going to do it. And he faced Pharaoh and stood up against him, and he led the people out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness for 40 years till they came all the way to the edge of the promised land. And he, at age 120, listen to this, 120. He wasn't through living, but the Lord said, time's up, that's it. And he took him up to Mount Nebo, and there he died. His eyes weren't dimmed, and his energy was not abated. He was ready to stay at it, even at 120. Now, that's Moses who wrote Psalm 90. Verse 12 says in the New International Version, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What I love about that verse in Psalm 90, verse 12, is that we're not told to number our years, but our days. Why? Because every day is important. And the way you live your years is based on how you live your days. So I've come up with this credo. Since every day is a gift from God, I will live each one enthusiastically for him. I have a feeling there might be a few cynics out there saying, oh, come on, Chuck, how idealistic can you get? Idealistic? Really? Is every day a gift? Absolutely. It's not really your age that's important, it's your attitude toward life. enthusiasm, excitement. You could visit our home most any day of the week and you'd find me in my study or in one of the rooms of our home, and you'd be hearing enthusiasm bursting forth, because days for us are still filled with enthusiasm about life, whatever it may bring. Not every day is pleasant, of course not. But surely life is meant to be more than checking off calendar months and turning the page of another year. We're to live each day, not dreading them, but anticipating what it is in that day that's exciting. Phil Cozzanow wrote a wonderful book, The Art of Pilgrimage. Now, it's not a Christian book. It's a book about travel. And in it, I found a beautiful sentence this past week. All our journeys are rhapsodies on the theme of discovery. Isn't that great? All our journeys are rhapsodies on the theme of discovery. When you keep discovering, you have a song in your heart, like rhapsodies. You don't dread what tomorrow brings. You anticipate what God's going to do through you tomorrow. And you live it on the theme of discovering that. That's Caleb. That's his ticket to adventure. And he took on life regardless of his age. And let me assure you, I say it again, it isn't your age that's important. It's your attitude. I was in my library this past week and I came across a book I had earlier thumbed through, but I hadn't really read, written by our own Jean Hendricks, wife of Howie Hendricks, still living in her 90s, still gaining wisdom through the days. She calls her book Afternoon. And in that book, on chapter 8, she tells the story of Caleb in her own way. Listen to Jean Hendricks on Caleb. Caleb was the kind of husband a woman needs, stout-hearted and capable. When he was 40, he went on a reconnaissance mission with the Dirty Dozen into Canaan and gathered an intelligence report that dropped jaws. They brought back food samples and far-fetched tales that must have kept them up all night around the fire. All agreed that giants lived up there, but only Caleb and his young friend Joshua recommended attacking at once. They were voted down. 45 years later, Caleb was still optimistic. I love that sentence. I'm still as strong as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war, for going out and for coming in. Now then, give me this hill country. Give me the mountains. What was Caleb's turn on? It was his telescopic vision. He saw beyond the backyard, and it lifted him over the fence. Get out of your backyard. Get out of your tight little radius called now. And think beyond now. Anticipate what it may be the Lord has. By the way, that reminds me, mentioning Joshua. When you stop and think about it, 12 spies were sent into the land. 2 of the 12 came back with a positive report. We can take the land. And they brought back samples of the grape crop. They brought back stories of what they saw. There were giants in the land, but no matter, our God is greater than all. He wants us to take that land. He's promised it to us. But the other 10 said, no, we can't do it. And They got the vote, and the people chose not to go into the land then. They wandered for 40 years and more while that old generation died off. Only Joshua and Caleb remained. Now, when the Lord chose a successor for Moses, he could have chose either one. He chose Joshua, as we know. Not once does Caleb complain about God's choice. Life wasn't about Caleb. Life wasn't about what he wanted. He thoroughly followed the Lord his God, says it three times in his biography in verses 6 through 14 of Joshua chapter 14. He was never envious of Joshua's role as the new leader. He followed Joshua's leading, and he stepped right in to do whatever he should do, cooperating with the plan. He went to Joshua with this plan, saying, remember when we stood before Moses and he said, you can have the hill country, well, I'm back. The difference is I'm now 85. I'm ready to take on the giants. And Joshua said, it's yours for the taking. And he dispatched Caleb, and that's exactly what he did. He didn't wait around. He took on the giants in the hill country. Caleb's timeless confidence set him up for what it was the Lord wanted from him. Three times I want you to see these words at the end of verse 8. Look at it. He wholly followed the Lord his God. Verse 9, you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And down here in verse 12, he wholeheartedly followed the Lord his God. How old would he be if he didn't know how old he was? Well, he'd be 40. The giants are still there, and they need to be driven out. That's our land. Let's go take it. How enthusiastic he was to carry out that responsibility as the Lord had planned. To no one's surprise, Joshua said, go for it. It's yours. Claim it. And he did. Remember my credo, since every day is a gift from God, I will live each one enthusiastically for him. If you commit that kind of credo to memory and apply it, it'll make all the difference in the world. You'll forget your age. You'll only anticipate what God's going to do this day and the next day. When Douglas MacArthur reached age 75, in fact, it was on his birthday, he chose to write his son a letter, personal letter regarding life. And in that letter, these words appear. In the central place of every heart, there is a recording chamber. So long as it receives messages of beauty, hope, cheer, and courage, so long are you young. But when the wires are all down and your heart is covered with the snows of pessimism and the ice of cynicism, then and only then have you grown old. There's no pessimism, there's no cynicism in Caleb's vision. Let's face it, nobody can predict our tomorrow. You don't know what day will be your last. Caleb didn't know. But based on what the psalm says, he decided to take on in these days he's living the challenge of that hill country that caught his eye back 45 years ago.
In our study in the book of Joshua, we've come across this remarkable man named Caleb. There's much more about Caleb that Chuck Swindoll wants to share with us, so please keep listening to Insight for Living. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. This is message number 7 in a brand new 9-part teaching series, and we're pleased to remind you that all 9 messages are available for purchase. Chuck's teaching series is called Moving Ahead Together with a Winning Mindset. So give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. Well, Chuck has been impressed by a Bible teacher and professor named Jonathan Murphy. Many of our friends have seen Jonathan preach online at Stonebriar Community Church because he's often the guest speaker when Chuck is away. Well, Jonathan wrote a book called Authentic Influencer, The Barnabas Way of Shaping Lives for Jesus. It's our featured resource today because it ties in so naturally with this study on Joshua. Perhaps you're trying to find better ways to connect with your children and grandchildren on spiritual matters. In today's culture, kids are sometimes shrugging off traditional Christian values. If you're longing to have a positive influence on those you love, Jonathan's book shows us the authentic and natural way to do it. It's the Barnabas Way of Shaping Lives for Jesus. To purchase a copy right now, go to insight.org/store. And then bear in mind, it's not the sale of books and resources that fuels this nonprofit ministry. Insight for Living is fully supported by grateful listeners like you. We invite you to join us in our mission to reach North America and beyond with these daily Bible teaching programs. To give a contribution today, go online to insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe your ticket to adventure on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Age, Your Ticket to Adventure, was copyrighted in 2022 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.